October 18th, 1985 is a date that will remain in my memory until I die. At that time, I was stationed in the Diocese of Wichita as a diocesan priest in the small southeast parish of Sacred Heart in Fredonia, Kansas, which is about 86 miles from Wichita. And on that day, it was rare that I did such a thing. In fact, it was the first time. But I had went to Wichita to speak to a brother priest about an affair that had come up in the parish that I needed advice concerning. So I went to Wichita that day and got my business taken care of, and then returned to the parish that afternoon on a highway called Highway 96 that was travelable to my parish, at least I thought so. It was a very treacherous highway, a highway that went through the Flint Hills, was very hilly, a highway that had no shoulders, and was traveled by very heavy semis and pickups and other types of trucks. That afternoon, as I was returning, I was involved in a head-on collision with a pickup truck from Hutchinson, Kansas. It had three people in it. Thank God no one was killed. I was thrown from my vehicle and was unconscious at the scene. But thank God that there was a Mennonite nurse from Southeast Kansas who stopped and assisted me at the time and waited with me until the ambulance drivers from a nearby hospital arrived. And it was due to her expertise that the ambulance drivers found out that I had suffered a broken neck, the extent of which I will tell you later. She mentioned after I had returned to the parish the following year that at that time I was trying to say the rosary or the Hail Mary, and since she did not know that prayer, it was impossible for her to help me. I was taken to a nearby hospital in Eureka, Kansas, that had a very small hospital. The doctor there sewed the scalp back on my head that had been ripped off at the scene. And later on, I found out from the doctors that the right side of my head had suffered a very major concussion. Part of the brain upon impact was crushed, they said, and was sheared off. Hopefully this hadn't affected me too much. He told his sister, who was a nurse at the time, this doctor in Eureka, Kansas, that there wasn't much he could do for me. So he called Wichita, a hospital there, Wesley Hospital, and asked that the Life Watch helicopter come and pick me up and bring me to Wesley Hospital. Upon liftoff of the helicopter, he told his sister, as they were watching in the window, that he didn't expect me to live between there and Wichita. I was that bad. I don't remember the helicopter ride either. Upon arrival in Wichita, I was taken to the trauma center of the hospital, where they did what they are experts at doing. And then I was admitted to the main hospital in the intensive care unit. I had found out later on, when I was more rational, that my parish in Fredonia, Kansas, the day of the accident, had opened the doors of the church all night long so that people could come in and pray. The Christian church in Fredonia did the same thing. The Methodists, the Baptists. The Assembly of God minister told me that he spent all night in prayer for me. I attribute my being here today to the prayers of these wonderful and God-loving people. The doctors told me that my recovery from the accident was done in record time. I was in the hospital from October 18th, 1985, to December 2nd. They also told me that what I suffered, my major injury, was a broken neck, as you have heard, the extent of which I found out, which meant nothing to me at the time, but has since been remarkable as information, was that I had suffered a C2 break, which meant the second cervical vertebrae in the neck. Most of us are familiar with the actor Mr. Reeves, who played Superman. My break of the neck was more serious than his, and I should be where he is at this time. The doctors told me that I should have died at the scene of the accident, and would have had my head been turned either direction. I would have asphyxiated. They refer to this break, lovingly, so to speak, as the hangman's break. This is the break of the neck that occurs when a person is hung. Since I live, the doctors said that, which was remarkable, they said they couldn't say that it was a miracle because that would put them on the spot, that I should have been on my back in a breathing machine, looking up at the ceiling for the rest of my life, paralyzed from the neck down. I was dismissed from the hospital in what is called a halo, which is an orthopedic device which is round and fits vertically and fits into a almost like a straight jacket, and the top of it is screwed into the skull and the back of the skull too, four screws, so that the neck cannot be engaged. I did not have to have surgery at all, as I have said. Fusion, only traction, which in itself is remarkable with this type of a break. When I was dismissed, I spent a number of months at my home in Wichita, Kansas. My mother, God rest her soul, took care of me until I recuperated enough to go back to the parish. I returned to the parish in May of the following year. The bishop had left my parish open and had not assigned anybody to it. So I went back to the parish and just resumed my normal daily duties, so to speak. One morning at Mass, as I was reading the gospel, a gospel that you may have heard many times, a gospel according to Luke, in which the owner of a vineyard goes out to inspect the trees of his vineyard, and he says to the vine dresser, "I've come out here for 3 years now, and have found no fruit on this tree. Cut it down and throw it to the fire. Why should it clutter up the ground?" The vine dresser said to the owner of the vineyard, "Sir, let me manure around it and hoe around it, and then see if it bears fruit. If not, I will cut it down." That was a very special moment for me because it brought back some type of a memory and was extraordinary as an experience, but I couldn't put my finger on it at that time. What happened at that time, and this does not happen to people like me, was that the page illuminated on the lectionary, it came off of the lectionary toward me and became enlarged. I tried to finish Mass, and apparently I did in a normal fashion. Went back to the rectory, sat in my lounge chair, and then tried to recall why this gospel meant so much. It came back very quickly. Shortly after the accident, I was before the throne of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, in judgment. He went through my entire life, and at that most recent time pointed out to me events that I had not had occasion to go to confession to or for, had not made reparation for, had not confessed very serious offenses against God. He told me, as I said yes to each event, Mother Angelica asked me, she says, Father, she says, didn't you give any excuses? I told her, Mother, when you're talking to truth itself or himself, there are no excuses. So I said yes. He said, for your sentence, I sentence you to hell for an eternal punishment. Again, I said, yes, Lord, I know. It was as if I had sentenced myself. It was more than as if. It was the fact that I knew what his judgment would be. I had done it myself. He just concurred with what I had chosen. He did not send me there, I sent myself. Not being able to see him, I just waited. But then I heard a female voice. Son, would you spare his life and his eternal soul? Mother, he said, he's been a priest for 12 years for himself and not for me. Let him reap the punishment he deserves. But son, she said, if we give to him special graces and strengths and then see if he bears fruit, if not, your will be done. There was a very short pause. Again, I waited. When he said, Mother, he's yours. And I have been hers for the past 12 years. Both supernaturally and just ordinarily. She is our mother. But you may say to me, Father, she came to your aid in intercession because you had, or must have had, a special devotion to her before the accident. No, I didn't. I have to tell you another indictment against myself. At that time, I believed in the angels, the saints, the Blessed Virgin Mary. But I believed in them up here, not here, in the heart. And there's a big difference. A big difference. To me, at that time, as I remember, they were like imaginary friends. Now I know differently. This is not the real world. That's the real world. We have got our priorities mixed up, a lot of us. To miss out on heaven, or the possibility of going to heaven, there's no way of talking about that loss and expressing to you the feeling of having almost lost it for eternity, knowing how short this life is compared to eternity and compared with what's in store for us. Since that time, I have found out one thing very important, that God the Father, His Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit cannot, it's impossible for them to say no to the Blessed Virgin Mary. They can't do it. Isn't she someone that you would want on your side as your advocate? This was even true on earth. Remember the marriage feast of Cana. Son, they run out of wine. In effect, what he said was, so. But he said, woman, why does this concern of yours have to, what does this concern of yours have to do with me? What was said there under reading between the lines was, mother, you know what's going to happen. If I do this, it'll begin my public ministry, and I'll have to leave home, leave you, and I'll go to my death on the cross early. Is this what you want? So what did she do? She knew this. She turned to the waiters and said, do whatever he tells you, knowing that it must have been at the prompting of the Holy Spirit that his mother requested this favor. Why? Because the Holy Spirit knew that the quicker Jesus began his public ministry, the quicker Pentecost would happen. This is our mother. Not just mine, your mother too. One does not need to have special devotions to her to come to your aid in times of need. God bless you.